Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just a beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head?
Well, the Razorbacks one win away this evening from moving on in a sort of workmanlike, an overused phrase that I hate when they use it in sports, but I use it, so, you know, I'm a hypocrite, in workmanlike fashion. Our man in Amsterdam, up there in Vietnam, Josh Neighbors, joins us this morning for his debut appearance on the Sunday Buzz.
Coverage of the NCAA Regionals is brought to you by Whataburger and Edwards Food Giant.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Todd.
Here I told him I needed to do that.
You did.
Now he's
you
forgotten
told me.
In the 2 minutes and I told him.
Josh, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I forgot the liner was going to come on. That's on me. That's on me, dog. That's all me.
Well, it's been fine.
Yeah. Well, see, it sounded, because I think it cut me off right as I was taking it. Anyway, I could have played it off, I think, but I was too honest. You know what? We're just too honest on this show, Josh.
That's right.
Too honest.
I understand. So is our show.
Yeah. So, give me your impressions of give me your impressions of what you see coming out of today's elimination game. Which team will have the pitching to hold out? And then I want to know if you think either team has the pitching to you know, win twice in one day after having played, you know, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, I guess naturally you'd think North Dakota State is maybe in a better spot because just, you know, they won yesterday.
Right.
But mentally they're not, you know, I mean, because Creighton is going to be licking their wounds. I mean, and I don't think it was a bad loss. I think Arkansas just played maybe the perfect baseball game last night when they hammered them. But I think naturally you'd kind of think North Dakota State's got the edge just because mentally. And I don't think they played poorly against Arkansas the other day. You know, Arkansas was just better than them in that first game as well. So they'd naturally be inclined to say North Dakota State. But I would say Creighton's probably got the arms to last a bit longer, you know, just because they are, you know, step up conference-wise, I guess you could say. But I have been impressed with the way North Dakota State played this weekend. I mean, they only lost to Arkansas by 4. They kind of hung around in that game and then got yesterday and they go and they beat Kansas. So I would say the Bison got to be feeling better, but Creighton probably has the personnel to last longer. But obviously the operative thing here is, hey, you're going to have to beat Arkansas twice. And that is just beating them once is hard enough at Bob Walker. Beating them twice, that's next to impossible. Yeah. I really just don't see it happening for either of those two teams.
Has it just been really good pitching by the Razorbacks over two games, or is it a situation where you're playing against some competition maybe that's clearly not up to the same level that you've played in the SEC?
Yeah, I would say since Amy Menez yesterday, 2 days ago, since he got, you know, he left that game, Arkansas pitching's been lights out.
Yeah.
I mean, they got really good relief efforts in that first game. And then yesterday, I mean, Zach Root was just on fire from the word go. And I really do believe that the pitching looks so dialed in. But the offense yesterday was so good. But I mean, they stacked guy after guy after guy now, pitching wise. They've overmatched them. I think that was a big thing yesterday. You know, Root was asked about it after the game, and said the plan was to attack with a fastball because they knew that the Creighton had not seen the level of fastball right. that Arkansas's pitching offered. So I think that's a good insight that, hey, there's just something speed-wise that a lot of the Arkansas pitching offers that these other teams just have not seen.
Well, and that sort of begs the question, Creighton, and I didn't realize this. So North Dakota State played all these road games because they don't have an indoor facility that got the football stadium up there. So they go on the road for basically the first half of the season, and they're playing Oklahoma State and some SEC teams, and they're always traveling. They're always playing. So they play in a conference that they, you know, they ran the table and won the tournament. Okay, Creighton plays in its conference. So the idea might be, is it better to play a top team from a a non-Power 5 conference or a Midland team to slightly better team in a power conference, ACC, Big 12, when you get into these kinds of situations? And I just remember North Carolina State. Of course, they were really hot the COVID year, the year that we stopped them, or they had whatever the worst decision in the history of NCAA championships.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they were a good team in the ACC, and they just waxed us at Baum Walker, you know? So that's what I'm thinking. Is it, now that Kansas is gone, do we catch a break by playing a pretty good team from a lesser conference versus a slightly above average team from a really good conference?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the matchups.
Mm-hmm.
What teams offer. So, you know, like I called some games this year for UCA, and one of the teams that I saw them play against was Austin Peay. And Austin Peay, they actually ended up not making the tournament. They lost the championship. But I remember thinking, like, if they got the right matchup in an NCAA tournament, they're gonna beat some teams because they hit, and they had a bunch of guys who transferred down from the big schools. And
right.
they ended up at Austin Peay, and you know they looked like a football team out there without their size. And I was like, wow, this, and they overpowered a lot of teams in the Atlantic Sun this year. And so, like, if you get a team like that, they can make life really, really difficult. But it does kind of depend on the personnel mm-hmm. on the team. But as far as the teams that go here, Arkansas got a really good draw because
yeah.
Kansas
yeah.
played well most of the year. But that version of Kansas that we saw most of the year in the Big 12 did not show up and come to Fayetteville.
Yeah.
And their exit was quick, and they did not look like the team that was, you know, locked in. And Creighton hammered them. Creighton got the turnaround and get hammered. But, it does not feel like the teams in this league are either version of the
right.
one. Now, Creighton's red hot. Like, Creighton, they had an 8-game winning streak snapped yesterday, and they were averaging 10-plus runs a game over the course of that 8-game winning streak. They played a lot of road games, too. They were 25-8 in road and neutral games this year until last night. So that's a team that was accustomed to playing well from home. They just went up against a bigger and better team in Arkansas yesterday.
You know, it's an interesting fact, and I don't know why I know this, but the Texas legislature, this was 2 years ago, they changed a couple of directional schools. There's an Austin Peay, an Austin B, and an Austin J, a PBJ. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, it's a true story. I'm making that up, Josh. Totally made that up.
I was like, it's Austin P in Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's the whole point. You're right. It's not even. Okay. How about, so I know you haven't really had a chance to see him play, but hats off to UALR. Talk about a team that's gotten hot
yeah.
at the right time. And you could kind of tell when they played in Fayetteville, this is a good, you know, it's not just a good story, but they've got a real chance to win today. Now, I don't, you know, the winning, it's out of that. It's a bridge too far, I think, to win all. But they can put another win in the books today. That's a good showing by UALR baseball. Hats off to those guys.
Yeah, they won a tournament game for the first time in program history.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you thought maybe, hey, they run out of gas, you know, right, after the way LSU kind of slowly beat up on them.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Curry has done a really good job in this last couple weeks. Bill, I did a public address for some of their games, and the team that I'm seeing now is not the same team that I even saw like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I mean, this is a totally different group. There is a, and people say injuries and whatnot, but like there's just a sense of self-belief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They string really good at-bats together in a way they haven't all year. Their pitching has been so much more competitive, and their stars on the mound have pitched like stars, and that's been a huge, huge boon to them. And they're, yesterday, the offense, right? I mean, what else can you say? It's like LSU kind of holds you down, keeps you down, and they rallied right back yesterday with just an unbelievable offensive performance, 22 runs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they won their first NCAA tournament game, and they did it by 12 runs. So the offense came to play. There's a sense of self-belief there. It's a massive accomplishment for the program. And they've got a really good chance of winning a second game today. I think a really good chance. Now, beating LSU twice is hard, but they got a chance to win another one.
Yeah, win another game today. And then that's a good showing. That's a tremendous showing.
And to your point, Josh, I mean, 5 runs in the second yesterday, 3 runs in the fourth, 2 in the 5th, 2 in the 6th, 3 in the 7th. Yeah. 7 in the 9th. I mean, they already had it pretty well in hand, and then put up a 7 spot to just really put it out of whack.
Yeah, sustaining offense is hard, and that's a lot of times like what you'll see. You know, teams at lower levels have a tough time with that, and that's the whole thing is that the sustaining offense is important because it maintains the pressure on opposing teams, right? And that, you know, teams switch pitchers. You want to keep the pressure up. You want to make sure that those kids become uncomfortable and they feel that heat. And that's what UALR did. That's what Arkansas did yesterday too. But UALR did a good job, as you mentioned, Todd, of inning after inning after inning, right? Just relentless offense. And they're going to hope that carries into today. And if it does, they got a shot at winning game number 2. And then we'll see what happens in the game against LSU.
Do you notice how Josh dropped in that he did PA announcing out at UALR? Now batting, Neighbors, Josh, Neighbors.
I was so bad at it, Bill. Oh, my God. That's not my forte.
Please tell me you screwed up some of those Latino names. Please tell me.
The good old white boy American names can sometimes get you, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's the inflection.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's all about the inflection.
Indeed. Did either of you happen to see how that UALR Rhode Island game ended yesterday?
No.
So Rhode Island's got a little bit of a rally going in the bottom of the ninth. Got a couple of runners on. Batter hits a frozen rope to center field, goes over the center field's head, hits the wall. 2-run double. Just one problem. The batter forgets to touch first base.
Yeah.
Chris Curry heads up,
replays
it, asks for a challenge. Game over.
How can you forget to touch that big, massive, two-color, two-toned green and white monster that's down there on the first
baseline?
Unless
you're colorblind.
Yeah. It begs the question, too, did the kid know and just keep going, or did he just have no idea he missed it?
I think he just kept going, if I remember looking at the replay right. I don't think he quite realized what had happened until he realized that the replay had been...
You kind of just say, hey, I'm chugging. Too late now. Right.
Yeah,
I can't turn around. Or, you know, I wonder if he just like, you know, just it just didn't happen for him mentally. You know, he's like, all right, I did touch it. Yeah, but how do you miss that? How do you miss first?
Especially, I mean, there's
got
there's
the backside too.
Two bases there stuck side by side. He didn't.
Yes.
Did he have to touch the white side, not the green side? Like,
no, it doesn't. It doesn't matter what side he touched.
Yeah, okay. You can touch either.
Yeah. Can I tell you something that we've got to get straightened out with the NCAA? And Josh, and this is a thing. So yesterday afternoon, I'm looking in the paper. I get up. I trust Todd. I look. It says game 2 will start at 8 p.m. Huh, 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. I take a shower. I drive out to Sauce to see my buddy Case and Darren. I'm going to watch the game. I get there 7:20-ish, something like that. We're 2 innings in. And it's because television is not involved. But we've got to stop this rinky-dink sort of cavalier nature with which we just, okay, well, you know what? We're going to, might rain tomorrow. We're going to play two games today. And this is the NCAA tournament. I don't understand how, given the rigidity, as you have seen up close and in person, the way these tournaments are run by the NCAA, how do we just cavalierly decide, you know, let's start at 7 instead of 8 tonight. That way we get an extra hour of sleep.
Yeah, so the funny thing is, like, I know it's baseball and basketball, they're different, but being at the Sweet 16 in San Francisco, everything is controlled.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, you know, I was talking to this guy who covered the Warriors and covers some other Bay Area sports. And he was like, you can kind of just, like, you know, meander around backstage, you know, in the bowels of the arena and whatnot. And when it's tournament time, it is so controlled. You know, it's like a maze, and they put up black curtains everywhere. Mm-hmm. There's a sign where it's like mascot staging area, you know, band staging area, you know, players lounge, it's so uptight in terms of where you can and can't go. But the game time is always, it's always like 9:47 p.m. in the basketball tournament. But yeah, that was weird to me, Bill. They're like, you know what, we're doing it an hour earlier, and I'm like, well, number one, why are we starting at 8 anyway?
Yes.
You know, I know it's TV and whatnot, but like, to me, the big thing is that, you know, like today, it's a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like, play the first game at like 11 a.m.
Yeah.
And then do game number two at 4 p.m. There's no reason that we should be having, and I know the reason, but just like, I mean, the environment's not going to be as good tonight because it's a Sunday night at 8. I know people, you know, have their schedules and all that kind of stuff, and I'm sure it'll be a fine crowd. But you can't tell me that an 8 p.m. Sunday start is going to do as well as a 4 p.m. start. And this is college baseball. I know there's ratings and there's TV to worry about, but to me, the ratings cannot be significant enough to warrant an 8 p.m. start on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
It's a school night for heaven's sake.
What is the reason? You said you know the reason. Why is it a minimum amount of hours?
It's just space between TV. I mean, it's like, you know, you space games out. But, like, there will be other games happening at that time as well. But, I mean, whenever I ask something about game times and starts, the answer is always television. You know, that's why, like, it can't – I mean, what other advantage is there to playing at 8 p.m.?
Yeah, and I would say – that given while we are all college baseball fans, the difference between starting at, say, 6 p.m. Central Time or 7 p.m. even Central Time, or to your point, 5 p.m. Central Time and 8,
right?
Given the fact that we just willy nilly move games around, or during the regular season, and we'll play a doubleheader today instead of.
Yeah, was there a threat of rain? Was that what it was? I mean, like, was that, you know, I didn't see what the reasoning was.
It didn't, but it's got to stop. So I've had to employ a man to check the schedule regularly to get back in touch with me. Darren, my man, Big D, is going to get back to me to confirm start time is going to be this. So we got to do something about
that. I wouldn't be shocked if I checked my phone and saw on Twitter that they were going to move the game, you know, to 7. Like, it wouldn't surprise me, but, like, you know, I do not enjoy that. I do not like that inconsistency.
Yeah. I think part of it, and I may be incorrect in this assumption, so please correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I think part of it had to do the move from 8 to 7 last night was partially because ESPN and the NCAA chose not to put the game on any of the broadcast networks.
Right.
So once they realized it was going to be streaming only, they're like, okay, let's move it up.
You're right, because it's not hard television. You don't have to commit to a certain time. I get that. But, I mean, still,
didn't they know beforehand that game wasn't going to be on
broadcast? Yes. When I'm reading it in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, it said 8 p.m. ESPN plus or minus. And so that's what shouldn't they move the bad games to ESPN minus? That's what I've always thought. If there's an ESPN plus, physics dictates, Josh, there has to be an ESPN minus. And so,
The Ocho, basically.
Yeah, like that's the game. Those are the elimination games that I want to see. But it's not a serious sport until you, if you can just willy nilly move the start time of the game. I promise you, Alabama-Georgia playing at 3:30 on a Saturday is not going to be bumped up to 2:15 simply because there's some cool stuff on Netflix we all want to watch later tonight. So,
no, and they would never do that to basketball.
No,
they would never do the basketball game time.
So,
no, they wouldn't do it.
So, give me a prediction on how you see today working out.
I think they might as well not even play the first game. Arkansas is so locked in right now. I mean, they really just the focus level is incredibly high. It's a group that you can tell is very, I think, and not in a bad way, but I think aware of their past failures in these situations.
Mm,
I thought North Dakota State came in incredibly focused yesterday and looked really, really strong. Arkansas took it, I wouldn't say an early punch, but you know, they absorbed some early runs. They settled in. They played, you know, I said this a bunch, but like, the first game against North Dakota State was just a baseball game, and that's a good thing. It was just a baseball game that happened. It was a 6-2 game where the better team took care of business. And then yesterday was the flex, if you will, against Creighton, and I think today is the finish. You know, this looks like a team that is on a bit more of a mission. And for, I wouldn't say up and down, just because the SEC is so hard, but for as many series they didn't win, kind of, you know, they lost the series in a short period of time. And so I think they're very aware of some past regional failures, and that's not where this group's going to slip up, not against the competition they're playing. And I think they're well on their way. Like, I don't think that I wouldn't plan on taking work off tomorrow for the old if necessary game. I think the Hogs are going to handle business today, regardless of a good play.
Yeah, I mean, we were reminded of Dave Van Horn's futility in Omaha and, you know, yesterday when you number – and I thought, frankly, I didn't realize the poor Florida State coach had – I mean, nobody's catching that guy. That guy has never won.
Right.
I mean, he's got 277,000 games that he's played in that they didn't win a College World Series. That's a tough one. But that is interesting because there does seem to be that – purpose with this team. Like, this is here to make up for the past sins of a lot of teams to keep moving forward, and I'd probably just put the curse on them at that point. So okay.
I don't believe in curses, Dale.
Yeah, I know you don't. Well, it's because you're a practical man. You're a practical man.
I am.
You know, you have tangible
emotions.
Yeah. Hey man, thank you. We appreciate you being on. Glad you didn't go out and get arrested last night, as has happened to some Buzz personnel when they've been on the road. And so we appreciate you, brother. Thank you, Josh. Thank you very much. Take care.
All right, Bill. I'll see you. I won't see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I won't see you tomorrow, but I'm on Thursday. I'm skipping tomorrow, and I'm coming
on
Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
Yeah, I'll see you on Thursday morning, my friend.
All right, thank you, Bill.
All right, Josh Neighbors from Morning Mayhem is up in Fayetteville covering the regional for the station.
Thanks to Whataburger and Edwards Food Giant.
Yeah, there you go. Just like we said in the liner, Whataburger and Edwards Food Giant there. Sponsor.